Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the coffee. It's May 14th, 2015. And, you know, as we look at the events of the last few days, this train wreck and you know, so many things that are train wrecks with this train wreck itself. I just watched a video. It was just a couple seconds before the train wreck, and the train was moving along at a good clip, really screaming along there. But the odd part is with the amount of explosion, which the video did show. You didn't see the video didn't move, the camera didn't move. So the train went by in front of it, and then just seconds later, probably 2 seconds later, two giant, one smaller explosions that were just horrific. So more than likely the people that did, for the most part, the people that passed away, they passed away like instantly. It was a horrific wreck. That's just one small incident. But the guy driving the train says he doesn't remember it. We're so not, now if it's because of an injury, I understand that. But it doesn't appear that. It appears that there's some other stuff going on, and we'll see in time. But the people are oblivious to what's happening around them. People just don't pay attention to what's going on around them. If it doesn't affect you personally, then just ignore it. Here's a couple of headlines from around the world, but there's a new kindergarten, and a lot of stuff starts overseas and comes here. Some stuff, unfortunately, starts here and goes overseas, but the stuff that comes from overseas here is just, it's hideous, because in England there's a new kindergarten that's starting up where they have their stuff, their students, they do some stuff, and then they sign a pledge to never use transphobic language. So people that are transsexuals and people that are, have a phobia about that, to use any kind of negative terms about that. Kindergartners, 4 and 5 and 6 year olds, little teeny children. And I thought, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that the people are actually considering doing that. The kicker came, David Bowes on his site on Facebook posted a picture of a, I don't even know, I can't even, it's from Norway, and it's sex education videos for 8-year-olds. So that's just 2 years older, 3 years older than kindergarten. And the deal is, I think there's 22 states in the United States that have passed a mandatory curriculum on sex education, and these videos are not tame at all. When you put it in perspective of the way we are today and what's going on with the permissive world we have today, they're not tame. They're bizarre. They're twisted. Now, I know that, I mean, if you should probably know some things about things as you get older, but there's a much better way, and even more so, 8 years old. See, there's the problem. It's not really... Say again?
High school.
Yeah, high school, junior high. To understand some things biologically is fine, but even the way these videos are done are just really, it's just horrific, okay? You could probably go to the Daily Beast and watch them. I'm just reading the narrative by Dave, and he just said, is 8 really the age which children need to learn to make out, amongst other complicated things? I like the way he puts it, you know. And it's just, I mean, he puts something here, and if you're a local person in the Washington area that listens to this program, Dave Ray, what would Stan Borison say? I'd say, what would Don McLoone, or what would, you know, Captain Puget say? You know, what's going on with our, I mean, it's so demented and so twisted. And I mean, the name of this program has been and always will be, as long as we run it, A Minute with Pastor Mike. And I know it's more than a minute. It's already been 5. But the title, and I'm not going to change that either. is how to live according to God's word in today's world. I am not an expert on that in any way, shape, or means, but I am absolutely a student of that. And I look at the world today and I go, I want to see the world through God's eyes. I want to know and live and experience things through God's word and then apply it to my daily life. And I think that that's important. That's why I gave that little example a couple days ago. Sorry we missed you yesterday, but it was a day off day. We gave that example with the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Wayfeather fight about the spiritual lessons there. You know, God is not utterly concerned about what goes on in that ring, and we think, oh, good will triumph over evil, and we have to figure out how Muslims can win boxing matches, how the team we don't want to win wins, you know, the football game or the basketball game, baseball game. God's not concerned about that. He's concerned about us conforming to the pattern of his son and walking out our life in Christ. And there's a lot about that. People are doing really everything they can to try to be Christians. I mean, I see people do that. I've done it myself. We've all done it. That you want to do some things, and you may not say it, but what you're doing is so you can either prove that you're a Christian or make sure that you're a Christian. And that, you are not in charge of that. God sent his only son to die on the cross in your place. So if we get that drilled into our mind, God sent his son to die in our place. That means Jesus died for us. That means we don't have to die. It's not our purpose to suffer through and be crucified and be beaten and be tortured. And then because of that, we get to go to heaven or because of any other things we do. It is completely and totally based on what Jesus did. And he completed what he came to do. And again, many of you may not have had to deal with it. I dealt with that a bit because my teaching growing up was, you know, Jesus was a great guy, but unfortunately, he died before he could finish everything. And that's not true. It's his death was the finishing point. Actually, his resurrection from the grave. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. It came about and proceeded exactly as it was supposed to, and it's done. The best part is it's done. There is no more that's going to be done to make it done. And so we just, you know, have to remember that. At any rate, the thing that we have to remember is it's based on what Jesus did and not on what we do. Ann Graham wrote this and published it this morning. It's so awesome. I want you to just listen to it. It's so simple. I just love simple. Not easy to comprehend, but very simple. Psalm 103, verse 14 says, "He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." She goes on to say, God will never expect more from me than the Holy Spirit will do in and through me if I allow him the freedom. That's a sentence with a few words in it that is so powerful, it's unbelievable. We have been given free will. We can allow God to do things or not allow God to do things. It's up to you. That seems, to me, it seems ridiculous because we're not going to make the right decision. But God doesn't require us to be puppets, to be little robots, little machines. And so the Holy Spirit working through you can do miraculous things, but you have to allow him the freedom to do that. And that means you have to be out of the way so you're not in charge, okay? She goes on to say, what a blessed relief or blessed relief to be reminded that God knows me. In fact, he knows me so well, he understands that apart from him, I can do nothing. We say that a lot, and we get used to saying the words, but I've watched some people lately just literally begin to crumple and fall apart. and they seem to have forgotten this. They've known it for 20 years plus, but they seem to have forgotten it. Listen to this. I don't have to prove myself to God. I don't have to worry about disappointing God. I don't have to earn his respect. I don't have to deserve his blessings. I don't have to work hard to be accepted. I don't have to produce a quota. I don't have to be successful. Now I'm going to read the key words there. Prove, worry, earn, deserve, work hard, produce, successful. None of those things are based on what you do to have a right relationship with God. And yet we watch people do it over and over. We've done it ourselves. We've done it ourselves. We need to succeed in this. You know, we need to really, really earn God's respect by being obedient. I don't want to disappoint God, so I get really nervous and worrisome. So if you just picked single words, prove, worry, earn, deserve, work, produce, successful, no, none of that. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It is completely up to God, and he already did it. It's done. Now, walking out your faith in him, that looks a little different. That is you doing things. But that does not set in concrete your salvation. That does not seal the deal. Because of your obedience, because of your abilities, because of your production, because of your success, because you're struggling with things about that would disappoint God, that does not add to your salvation. That doesn't give you a better place or position. She ends it with this, just a simple sentence or two. Actually, three, but the first one is powerful. He, God, created me in the first place. He knows how I'm formed. He remembers that I'm dust. Remember the scripture? He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14. So, if you look at what you are, you're just a little dust person. A little dust person. A lot of people are pumped up pretty big, pretty heavy, pretty bigger than life. You're just a little dust person infused with the very breath of God. So you are the smallest of small, infused, empowered, redeemed by the breath of God. So you, in all reality, are so far above anything you can imagine now, right now. You are, right now, his child, if you know him, if you've accepted the gift that he gave of eternal life. You won't become his child someday. You are now. So how many of us are acting like maybe someday we can attain this position of becoming a child of God or becoming his son or daughter by doing things, by proving, by worrying, by earning, by deserving, by working, by producing and being successful. That's so prevalent. You know, you're not a successful Christian unless you've gone on 10 mission trips. You're not a successful preacher unless you preach to thousands every week. You're not a successful student unless you've memorized more scripture than any could normally. I mean, all these things and these qualifications and quantifications, and we just heap upon ourselves, and none of them. Now, I'm not telling anyone here in the sound of my voice, don't read the Bible, don't memorize scripture, don't do these things. You know, don't work hard. I'm not saying that. Don't be successful. I'm not saying that. That's not what we're saying. But it's about our relationship with God the Father. That now takes it to a whole other level. And you don't earn respect with God. You don't, it's not works-oriented. Now, there's so many people out there that believe it is. There might be people listening to my voice right now, listening to this program, or whenever you listen to this program, and saying, well, you're wrong. It's all about my performance with God. Well, if that's the way you want to live, that's your choice. But it's wrong. It's not correct. It's not works righteousness. Everything that needs to be done for you to be saved has been done. You need to receive it. Now, if you don't receive it, if you don't submit and receive it, if you don't say I'm a sinner, if you don't say I'm wrong, if you don't say I've blown it, if you don't say I need forgiveness, I need Jesus, if you don't acknowledge that, believe that, receive that, well, okay, that's your business. His death, burial, and resurrection still is sufficient to cover every sin. But if you don't want it to cover yours, that's your business. But if you really do trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your path. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Those are great words. But it's more than that. It's an eternal promise from God. Confess, believe. Confess with your mouth, however that happens. Believe in your heart, all the same way. Confess and believe, confess and believe. Watched a little boy that was in a dramatic accident with traumatic brain injury. And they didn't know if he'd live, let alone then, once he did live, how he was going to live. And he'd broken his femur, broken his arm, and had traumatic brain injury to the extent that he couldn't hold his head up, he couldn't move. It was hard to believe that he was still, actually, his heart was beating. And eventually, after the period of a few weeks, they were able to get him into a kind of a wheelchair thing, you know, and they rolled him in this room and brought a dog in, a service dog. He fell in love with that dog, and the little guy actually reached his hand up, and they helped him at first, but then he was laying on that dog, and he put his leg up over the dog, and over a period of weeks, the parents watched this little guy come back, be talking again, still having some coordination problems, but he came back, and his main focus was that dog, how that dog loved him, and how he loved the dog, and liked to feel the dog's fur. And I thought, you know, it's nothing about dogs. I'm not doing a big thing about dogs, but I'm talking about the miraculous healing ability that God has put into our bodies after dramatic and traumatic injury to our body. Even if he never got out of a wheelchair, even if he didn't walk, they realized that he recognized some things that were nice. So in other words, he had a cognizant understanding of things that were around him. We've had so many people come out of comas and said they heard everybody was talking, they knew everything was going on, they just couldn't respond. God knows you and me. God understands you and me, even if we don't understand ourselves. God created us. He formed us. He knows that we're made out of dust. But he also infused us with his very breath. And that breath is life. Do you have that life? You have to stop and think, do I have that life? Is that the life that I have? Is that the life that I want? It should be, and it can be. If you receive it, it's already there for you. Tomorrow's the 15th. We're halfway through the month. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Halfway through the month. And then it'll come into June, and who knows what June holds. Amazing. It's just bam, bam, bam. Older you get, the quicker it goes. Nah, it's still the same speed. Just seems like it goes quicker. Anyway, we'll see you here again on the 19th. The 18th, will be. We might be here, but I know for a fact we'll be here on the 19th. And so you guys make sure you get into the Word. Spend time in the Word. Get into fellowship. Be with other Christians. Encourage each other. Do not forsake your gathering with other Christians, such as the habit of some. Don't do that. But get together in fellowship and encourage each other. And do that as often as you can. And you'll be blessed as a result of it. So until the 18th/19th, God bless and have a wonderful weekend.